Live from NPR News, I'm Dale Willman. Rain, gusty winds, and possible flooding are all in the forecast for communities along the East Coast this weekend. NPR's Anna Isaacs reports that more than 7 million people are currently under a tropical storm warning.
Tropical storm Ophelia has been brewing in the Atlantic and is expected to make landfall in North Carolina early Saturday before moving north toward the Chesapeake Bay. Forecasters are predicting up to 7 inches of rain in some areas, warning of possibly life-threatening storm surge from coastal North Carolina to southeastern Virginia. The National Weather Service says rainfall will spread over the weekend into the mid-Atlantic and southern New England, with the potential for scattered flash floods. Meteorologists say record warm Atlantic waters are contributing to a busier-than-usual hurricane season, which won't wind down until the end of November. Anna Isaacs, NPR News.
With just a week before much of the federal government could be forced to shut down, the House of Representatives have gone home for the weekend with no viable plan in place to keep the government funded. Now the White House is preparing to direct federal agencies to get ready to close. And White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre says they have a clear message right now for House Republicans.
This doesn't have to happen. The shutdown does not have to happen. The Republican shutdown does not have to happen. They can do their job and keep these vital programs continuing, keeping the government open.
House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, meanwhile, says the House will return next week to consider passing some individual spending bills. Thousands of migrants crossed into Eagle Pass, Texas this week to seek asylum, and many have come through San Antonio on their way to their destinations. Texas Public Radio's Kayla Padilla reports that because of that influx, the city's Migrant Resource Center is now over capacity.
The center has seen large numbers of migrants from Venezuela, including a man named Juan Carlos. He has been in San Antonio for 5 days. He's been sleeping on pizza boxes outside of the resource center.
There's not enough beds inside anyway. We'll have to sleep on the floor.
He's trying to make it to Miami, Florida, where he knows a friend. He expressed his gratitude for the resource center and the meals provided, even if the portions are small. The migrant center is averaging 750 people per day. U.S. immigration authorities encountered more than 142,000 migrants at the southern border in just the first half of September, on pace to match last year's record high. I'm Kayla Padilla in San Antonio.
New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez was indicted on Friday along with his wife. The Democrat is accused of using his position as chair of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee to help Egypt in return for bribes from the authoritarian regime. The state's Democratic governor is now asking that Menendez resign. Menendez says he's being falsely accused. You're listening to NPR News. A new train line connecting Orlando to Miami is opened on Friday. It's meant to be a high-speed passenger train operated by the private company Brightline. From member station WMFE in Orlando, Molly Durig has more.
Brightline's first train service from Miami arrived in Orlando late morning. The high-speed passenger rail service travels at up to 125 miles per hour between Central Florida and several South Florida locations. Brightline officials say they plan to offer hourly service from Orlando to South Florida, running 16 round trips a day. Right now, each train car holds 300 people, but Brightline hopes to keep adding cars and capacity. The first train arrived late to Orlando after a different Brightline train struck and killed a pedestrian on the train tracks. The incident highlights ongoing concerns about Brightline's safety record. For NPR News, I'm Molly Durig in Orlando.
Police in Albuquerque have arrested a third person in connection with a September 6 shooting that killed an 11-year-old boy and left his cousin partially paralyzed. Police say two of the men who were arrested had argued with a group of people during a baseball game and mistakenly opened fire on the wrong truck. The shooting led the state's governor to implement a controversial gun ban for the city. Surgeons at the University of Maryland say they've transplanted a pig's heart into a dying man in an effort to extend his life. He is just the second patient to undergo such an effort. The first person to receive a pig heart survived for just 2 months. Doctors say 58-year-old Lawrence Fawcett wasn't eligible for a traditional heart transplant. They say he was telling jokes just 2 days after the surgery. I'm Dale Willman, NPR News.